welcome to Pop a la Carte number 43. I don't even know what to say otherwise, but except I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
Our topics this week are Solo, a Star Wars bomb. Killing Eve, one of the best new shows on television.
Yes, not a bomb.
Cloak and Dagger, another new show that's coming up soon, which, yes, means we're talking about Marvel again. Another, which has the potential of being one of the best new shows on television.
Yeah.
And the shit that is going down with people, all kinds of people saying really stupid things, from Roseanne to Arrested Development to Samantha Bee.
Yeah.
Because people say dumb things, and I'm sure we'll probably say something dumb in the course of this podcast. Anyway.
Probably not as dumb.
Hopefully not as dumb that people tell us to stop talking.
Yeah.
Because hopefully that's basically what all these people are getting told.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start with Solo, which is funny because I'm the only one who's actually seen
it. That is correct. I have friends who saw it that very much did not want to go see it.
And why did they see it?
That's a great question. Completionists. That's why.
They felt like they needed to.
Yeah, because my friend is, like, you know, he's been a Star Wars obsessed, like, all his life, right? And so he's like, I can't not go see this movie, so.
Yeah. It was funny, I was, like, in the shower shaving today, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, I forget sometimes that I have a Star Wars tattoo, but that's part of the reason, like, I love my Star Wars tattoo, because mm-hmm. if you look at it, it just looks vaguely Celtic, and nobody would know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I have this thing where I'm like, it has to have other meanings, otherwise I won't do it, because I'm like, what if you stop loving that thing?
Right.
Which, I do feel like I'm stopping, like, stop loving so Star much. Wars,
oh, no.
So I'm really glad it's about more than just Star Wars.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tell me. And I feel like I haven't really gotten your feels on it.
Yeah, so. I saw it at a press screening the Monday before it came out. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's silly. I did. I really liked it. Well, okay, maybe really liked it is strong words. I liked it, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I turned to my friend at the end of the movie, and I was like, okay, so remember how I have tickets to see it on Thursday? Somebody else gets those tickets. Because I did not need to see the movie again.
Yeah.
Once was enough. It was fun. And this is coming from the girl who saw Infinity War 6 times in 2 weeks. So clearly it's not that I've grown out of seeing movies over and over again, because
right.
I will if I love them. But this one, I was just like, yeah, you know
what?
Did
it just feel like a generic heist movie?
It does. It's very much a heist movie. In fact, I basically was asking friends who weren't sure if they were going to see it or not. I said, okay, did you like Ant-Man? And they said yes. And I was like, you'll probably like this movie.
Oh, okay.
Because if you just look at it as a heist movie, it's fine. It's fun. You know, that was, although that, I will say that was one of the problems that, like, Matt still hasn't seen it. And he doesn't know if he's going to at all mm-hmm. now. Because he asked me, could you put the Serenity characters in it, and it would feel like just any other, like, would it work? And I said yes.
Mm.
It's, like,
I mean, for me, like, what I like about Ant-Man is, like, the stuff outside of the heist, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, I know that he and Hope are gonna go somewhere, and I know he and his daughter, you know, like, that's a lasting relationship that's obviously gonna have consequences.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what invests me in it, whereas the only thing that I can imagine being invested in this movie would be, like, Han and Lando's friendship, for example. Like, how does that connect to
yeah.
what we've seen in the future? Because, like, he and Emilia Clarke, I really, you know, I can just erase
you're not,
this.
Yeah, you're like, I'm obviously not going to get invested in that because that's going nowhere.
Yeah.
And yes, we are going to talk major spoilers. I'm just going to spoil the whole damn thing because
right,
you guys
don't
care,
want to see
right?
it.
Okay, so the part where Han and Chewie meet is one of the best parts of the movie.
Okay.
That was actually really well done, and that made me happy. Because, you know, it's not, like, it's a, like, and I've had a lot of my friends who are huge Star Wars fans say that Chewie was one of their favorite parts of the movie, because they do actually, like, he doesn't feel like the sidekick necessarily. I mean, he is, but he actually has a little bit more of a character.
Okay.
He's given a little bit more to do, and he feels a little bit more fleshed out, and I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Lando is amazing, and everybody wants the Lando movie, because of course Donald Glover can do no wrong. He's fun, he's silly, I mean, mm-hmm. he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the people who was not quite sure about Alden Ehrenreich as Han before, because I was like, he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. What the, like, what are you doing? He was good.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, you know, he's outshone by Donald Glover, because everybody is. But he was good in the role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you forget quickly that he's not the person who originated this
right.
like, character. So it's fine. I hate L3.
L3?
L3 is Phoebe Waller-Bridge's droid.
Oh.
And it's funny because a lot of people love her. And apparently a lot of women love her. But I was just spent the entire time being like, why didn't you just put Phoebe Waller-Bridge in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you wanted.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just put her? Because she's playing herself. And she's just hidden behind the droid character. And my biggest problem with it is, it doesn't really make sense to me when you look at the fact that this and it's the same thing with a K3SO or whatever the character
K2SO, is. K2SO, yeah.
K2SO, okay.
Mm-hmm.
From Rogue One, that you made these characters incredibly human when they're supposed to come before the
yeah.
original trilogy, so
like, why
and
did,
those
like,
droids aren't that human.
Maybe they went the reverse, right? They're like, our droids are too human. We want to be able to differentiate.
We want to make a difference.
So technologically advanced means more robotic.
Yeah, it feels weird, because it's just like, I spent the whole time being like, you should have just put Phoebe Waller-Bridge in the movie and then it would have been fine. But I'm actually really annoyed by this droid, and I don't know why. I really didn't like it. Some of the things they do with her character, because they try and make her, like, she hasn't been wiped like the other droids, so she's got a bit more of a personality, and that's not the problem. It's a bit, I don't know, it's just too much. She actually does have a moment that is hilarious in the movie, where, because she's kind of, like, the more, like, it's, like, droid rights and stuff like
that.
Okay.
And like the house elves.
She's totally Hermione in the house elves. which is fine, but it's a little too weird at times. But there is a point where they, in the middle of this heist that they're doing, she comes upon a droid with, like, I can't even remember what it's called, but it's one of the lock things that controls them and, like, stops them from thinking of their own. And she's like, oh, that's stupid. She's pissed off about it. She pulls it off. And the droid, getting its mind back, is like, well, what do I do now? And she's like, I don't know. Start a revolution. Free your fellow droids. And they do. And it's actually hilarious because it's not part of the heist, but it helps them.
Yeah.
And it's just this noise going on in the background, and it's actually really funny.
Aww.
So that was cute.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I feel like it's just part of Star Wars wanting to follow that same formula always. Like, you don't have to have a new droid every time.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it would be okay.
R2-D2 is in the background at one point,
yeah.
I think.
Of course.
Or something.
Of course,
or it's like,
he is.
But, like, it's so throwaway, you don't even notice it. So at least it's not, like, like, forcing it down your throat.
At least Han didn't previously befriend C-3PO and R2-D2 and then forget about it.
Yeah.
So.
The thing that, like, Matt didn't let me really tell him what happened in the movie, but he also, we went away this weekend with friends who had seen the movie, so we talked about it, and he was like, whatever. And afterwards, he told me, he's like, he doesn't want to see the movie. He was saying he would watch it when it was on HBO, and now he says he doesn't think he even wants to, because of the way that they, because obviously there's going to be fan servicing, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to expect it in this kind of movie, but some of the stuff that they did, like, here's major spoiler, L3 dies.
Oh, no!
They connect her to the Falcon.
Oh, okay.
And basically upload her to the Falcon.
Oh, okay.
And so now there's, you know, I think it's in Empire, where there's a part where, like, 3PO is like, your ship has a weird dialect and I don't really understand it. And there's throwaways, like, Han talks to the Falcon and stuff. And now they've made it, it's L3 that basically is what he's talking to. And Matt really doesn't like that.
He doesn't like that? That's,
no.
I mean, that's cute.
Like, well, like, especially whatever. When I'm telling him I don't like the droid.
Right.
So now he's like,
yeah.
Well, now I'm not going to like the Falcon. Because now I'm going to be like, it's the stupid droid. So, most of the fan servicing stuff wasn't too bad. Because it's just little, like, it knows it's doing it, but it's not too much. The one moment that I was like, I groaned. Well, okay. There's three things I groaned about. One that's just stupid, and two that I was like, oh my god, really? You had to go there?
Uh-huh.
The one that's stupid is how Han gets his name.
Oh, okay.
Because he is not Han Solo at the beginning of the movie. He is Han, and he goes somewhere, and they're like, is there anyone traveling with you? No, I'm alone. Solo. They put, like, literally, that's the beat in the moment. And it's just cheesy as fuck.
That's dumb. It's that's really bad. That's bad. Just make his name be Han Solo. Like, I know. What? I don't understand.
It was like, really? But
do some people not have last names?
Apparently, yeah. Kira, I don't think, has a last name either. Oh. So Amelia Clark's character.
How was her performance? Did she...
She's fine. She's Amelia Clark. She's kind of cheeky and mm-hmm. she's fun, but she turns it on Han at the end of the movie.
Gasp!
Yeah.
I was rooting for her, because I was like, I don't care about this romance, so, like, have her be evil or something.
There you go.
Yeah, she...
Well, I know it's not evil, it's more, like, out for herself.
Yeah.
There's an entire story that of, so Han meets Woody Harrelson's character, whose name I can't even remember right now, and he's then working for Paul Bettany's character, who then also who is, like, a really, really terrible person. Right. And Kira's kind of, like, I don't know, it feels like she's his slave, basically, but it turns out she must have a little more, like, there's some agency to her, uh-huh. but, like, it's weird, because it's part of the subterfuge of you don't know that she's actually really helping. Mm-hmm. Like, she goes back and forth so many times. And she ends up killing Paul Bettany, but she sends Han off to do what they're supposed to be doing together, mm-hmm. and he goes off, and then she takes off in the ship, because this is the moment that I was like, and you lost me.
Uh-oh.
She goes to talk to this mysterious Crimson Dawn, who's, like, the overlord for Paul Bettany and his, like, whatever's going on. And who is Crimson Dawn the leader? Darth Maul.
Darth Maul?
Yeah.
I'm surprised my friend wasn't screaming at me about that. She heard rumors, because Darth Maul's been alive in Clone Wars.
Yeah. Darth Maul was brought back in Clone Wars, and I knew that.
Spider or something? I don't know.
Yeah, they don't really...
I'm surprised she didn't yet, like, scream at me about it, because she's like, if Darth Maul's back, I'm gonna throw something, and she went and saw the movie and didn't complain about it, so...
Yeah, I was like, because it honestly feels like it's a really fun, cute heist movie, and then they're like, oh shit, there's not enough Star Wars, throw shit at the wall.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, Darth Maul is back, and, you know, you get through the entire movie without seeing a lightsaber, and he's got to pull out his lightsaber, because he's like a hologram and she's talking to him. He's got to pull out the lightsaber, and it's a different, like it's not his original lightsaber, because I think that was destroyed.
Right.
Well, he was, so you'd assume the lightsaber was too. But yeah, he's got to pull it out, and even my friend, mm-hmm. even Brian, okay, so you know Brian.
Yeah, I am Brian.
Even Brian, who loves everything,
yeah,
was like, yeah, Darth Maul was a bit much, and I wish he hadn't brought out the lightsaber, and I was like, oh my god,
that's
even
a real, Brian. Like, if he said that, then you know
yeah, it's not just me, the person who's like, well, I was never all that married to Star Wars anyway, but yeah, even Brian, who, like, is,
wow,
yeah, was like, what, I wish they hadn't done that. And on to top it off, Han basically helped start the rebellion.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right? He's not, like, it's more of a, there's these people who are trying to steal the shit that they are the entire movie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, it turns out they're not the bad guys, because they're trying to start a rebellion.
Oh, okay.
And they need these things, and he gives it to them and helps them.
Oh, okay.
And so it's not like... Yes, I'm going to start the rebellion, right. But, like, if it weren't for him, they probably wouldn't have gotten off the ground. And it was like, really?
Yeah, it's a little bit like, they reduce the world too much. It's like, these
it's
four...
It's a universe. People.
Yes.
Like, at least a whole galaxy, and they can't
and it's,
let it be big.
And this is still the complaint of the stories, that this is an entire galaxy and everything comes back to, like, a handful of characters. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's not technically a Skywalker, but he ends up marrying one.
Right.
And giving his progeny is one. Like, mm-hmm. so it might as well be that, yes, one of, you know, it, like, yeah. And so that was, I don't know, kind of silly. The only
thing about Rogue One is that you got to see a little bit bigger of a galaxy.
Yes.
Like, a little, they were, like, Chira and Baze showed you there was other stuff out there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And even other planets we hadn't heard of, and obviously it tied into the rebellion at the end, but it wasn't, you didn't really get lightsaber as much.
Yeah.
Sort of did. I mean, but...
Yeah, it wasn't about that. It was about, you know, it was about the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now we have... And that's why it's, like, that was where it disappointed, because I was like, okay, I'm having fun, this is cool, this, you know, there's, yeah, there's silly fan service stuff, but I'm, and I don't like L3, but otherwise I was like, I'm liking this. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I got to that, and I was just like, oh, fuck, really? Really?
My friend's favorite part was Thandi Newton's character.
Who's in it for about 5 minutes, by the way.
Oh, really?
She dies really early.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, she dies less than halfway through the movie. Oh. It's like a third of the way through the movie. Yeah, so I like her, which is not only because her name is Val. Although I'm probably going to buy it. I was like, I kind of feel like I should own her Funko just because her name is Val.
There you go.
And I need to keep the box, which I don't usually keep the boxes, but...
Well, they can bring Darth Maul back. They can bring her back.
There you go.
There you go. But yeah, the only other thing that I did give it props for was before we, like, a couple months ago, I remember seeing Corey post on Facebook something like, I can't wait to see how everything that Han and Chewie ever talked about on their adventures happened in the course of 2 days. So I will give it this. They never mention, by name, Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
They allude to the mission, because Woody Harrelson's character knows about this, like, thing, and then Han at the end of the movie is like, hey, maybe we should go do this, you know, job. Okay. But that was the setup for a sequel that's probably never going to happen.
Right.
Because yes, they go off and they, like, but it's not in this movie, and I was like, that was the one thing I was like, thank you, because not everything they did has to happen. You did get the Kessel Run, you did get, you know, like I said, Han and Chewie meeting, you do see how he gets the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Kind of. Like, it basically ends with him going to, and being like, well, yeah, he wins, like, right at the end of the movie and takes off in it. Because Lando had taken off on him earlier in the movie with it. But, so, you did get a lot of it, but it also doesn't take place over the course of 3 days, because there's, like, a 3-year break in the middle of it.
Oh, okay.
So, at least there was that, is, and like I said, they never actually even say Jabba's name.
Okay.
So that was good. I do kind of assume, it's very obviously left open with Kira and with Han. It's left open either for one story going for one sequel, or you could have split them up completely and done sequels with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think because the day it came out, before we knew it didn't do well, it was when they announced the Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
I actually wonder if it wasn't going to be another, like, Solo 2, if maybe the Boba Fett movie was going to be the sequel, and it would just be... So Han's story with Jabba, but from Boba's perspective.
Yeah.
Which could have been interesting, but who knows if that'll even happen now.
Right.
Because if Han Solo can't get you a big box office opening,
then
Boba Fett is not going to. Yeah. Because, like, it was the publisher account for James A. Corey, which is the pseudonym that the two writers who write the Expanse books use.
Oh, okay.
He actually said something, and even Matt, who loves Boba Fett, agreed that Boba Fett is not a character, he's a costume.
Yeah, for sure.
And
we don't know anything about Boba Fett.
Yeah, and if, like, Star Wars fans know who Boba Fett is. Mm-hmm. Some people who are just a little nerdy know who Boba Fett is. The general audience has no fucking clue who Boba Fett is, right. Because they don't care.
Yeah.
So, if Han Solo didn't get you a big box office, there's no fucking way Boba Fett's going
to. Yeah, I feel like Boba Fett, maybe for the same reason, but, like, Han Solo even more so, like, people didn't want to see not Harrison Ford play Han Solo.
I think, you know? That's part of it, yeah.
And then probably. Even more, you're like, don't want to see Han Solo with not Leia. Or, like,
yeah,
not...
you want to see him.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Chewie, but the rest of the characters, yeah. You know, whatever.
Right, you don't have Luke, you don't have, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's all these new people. And then, plus, of course, a lot of people had a lot of problems with Last Jedi. So they weren't, like, and excited for another Star Wars movie in a year.
I feel like if they had sold the Han Solo movie as, like, Han and Chewie hijinks movie more, I might have been more into that. I would have been like, okay, like, I want to go watch Han and Chewie do funny things. But from the beginning, it never felt like that's how they were selling it.
Yeah.
It turns out that's actually not what it was, because it was mostly a heist movie. But it was like, why didn't you just sell it as that, like, fun romp?
Well,
like,
I mean...
that I would have seen.
Yeah. Maybe. Matt watched, I think, all of the trailers, and... He didn't see the last one until I think, like, we were in the theater for Infinity War. And he turned to me and he was like, if that's the trailer they'd been showing this whole time, he might have decided to see the movie. Mm-hmm. And that was when he said, okay, you're going to see it earlier and then you can tell me whether or not it's worth it. And then I walked out and I was like, I think he might have been okay with it until Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. And when he let me tell him, that's what happened. Like, yeah, he just turned over and he was like,
Yeah.
That's so funny. I still think he probably would be like, I don't know. He's so burned by the movies. He's never going to love it, but he might have thought it was okay. Yeah. If like, yeah.
I feel like it might be worth it just to see Han and Chewie meet. I don't know.
I'll probably rent it. I'm like, when it's out and, you know.
I'll rent it as well.
Yeah. It was cute.
Talking about earlier, like, if you can't get people in for a Solo movie, how are you going to get them for a Boba Fett? And that's probably why Disney isn't announcing, like, they're not so far doing a Lando movie, except for Donald Glover. Like, I just don't understand, like, why he's presumably under contract, because movies like this, they have to sign, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
See, I was like, you have somebody as talented and popular right now as him. Why aren't you striking that iron while it's hot?
Yeah.
Like, it on. Because I feel like if it wasn't Donald Glover, yeah, nobody would go see a Lando movie. But you have him as Donald Glover now. Like, why are you doing Boba Fett?
Yeah. No, they probably would have been better off announcing an Obi-Wan movie, because mm-hmm. that would be something people might be a little more interested in than Boba Fett. Nobody cares about Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Literally nobody really cares about Boba Fett. You can put him in the background of another Han Solo movie, and that would be more interesting than just doing a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah, for sure.
The only thing I've seen that, like, what made me be like, well, okay, maybe I would see that movie, is there's concept art somebody did, like, just somebody like, on the internet just did a because obviously So Jango Fett and Boba Fett in the prequels has been established as Maori.
Yeah.
So, both were played by Maori actors. Uh-huh. So, you've got to get a name in that role. Like, sorry, Daniel Logan, you're never getting that role because nobody knows who you are. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter that you've played him before. The only thing is this art somebody did of Taika Waititi is Boba Fett, and I was like, shit, I would watch that movie. Just because...
I know we just said, you're right, they're not going to cast a name nobody's heard of, but have you seen the picture of that kid, the grown guy now, and Daniel Boba Logan. Fett?
Yeah, everybody was like, wow, somebody's thirsty.
Yeah. I would...
He looks good in it.
He looks good in it, but he's done literally nothing else.
Oh, really?
Since... But...
I mean, it's an argument to be said that he's done nothing else but be Boba Fett, because he's voiced him in the Clone Wars, so there's that.
Yeah, but I don't think he's established that he's a very good actor.
Probably not, and then, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you need to be a very good actor to be Boba Fett? Because again...
If you're going to do an entire movie... If you're going to do an entire movie, yes, you do.
I mean, well, they've already had their controversy with the lead of one of their things needing acting classes, and they weathered that as well.
Yeah, but, like, it's funny, because all the, like, stories, people are, like, as much as I made the joke when I did the intro of Star Wars Bomb, it is, but it isn't, because it's not fair completely to call it a bomb when it did make 83 million in the 3 days, and it was 103, I think, over the 4-day weekend. Uh-huh. That's not exactly a bomb.
Right.
But, at the same time... It cost $250 million to make because of the reshoots, mm-hmm. and then another $150 million to market it.
Yep.
Which means that's $400 million right there, and it's not going to make that.
Because it is a bomb.
Well, especially for Star Wars.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a bomb if it was anything else.
Right.
But for Star Wars, because of the reshoots, mostly. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the reshoots, they probably would have been okay. They wouldn't have made a lot.
Like, what would have been a reshoot? Like, what do you think was that they changed, really?
I mean, it's hard because everybody assumed that the Lord and Miller version was really slapstick and that was the problem. But stories, I saw something the other day that said it actually was more dark and it wasn't funny enough for them. Which I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, that's very strange.
I did see it with a group of press, but it was a huge theater, and the last press screening I had been to was for Infinity War, and that was one of the best crowds I've ever been with. Whereas this crowd hardly reacted. Oh. There were times that I laughed, so it was like, I don't think anybody else in the theater laughed. When Darth Maul was revealed, all I could think was, okay, at the Chinese, this is going to be a huge moment. Nobody in that theater made a sound.
Wow. Lame audience.
So, yeah, it was weird. I honestly was like, what the hell? Especially because it was getting good, like, it got decent reviews. Not great. It's like 70 or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
70 was
the last I saw. But there was literally no reaction to anything. It was really weird. I don't know. So, I don't know.
Was the movie dead or was the audience dead?
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, like, I didn't think it was hilarious. Infinity War is funnier. Mm-hmm. But it was funny at times. It made me, like, chuckle at times. Yeah. And I didn't feel like anybody else did. That was weird.
I feel like not as funny as Infinity War is kind of a...
It is kind of weird. Like, but that movie is hilarious while it rips your heart out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, the other thing I'm seeing people say, trying to actually, like, prop it up and be like, well, it was, is, well, Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and even Captain America the First Avenger and Thor and Guardians didn't make more than, like, that much either. And it's like... Well, yes, but those are all characters that had never been seen on screen before, and especially things like Thor and Guardians and Ant-Man and Doctor Strange were huge gambles because they're so different.
Yeah.
But
they made their money back, right?
Well, they made a lot. They made a lot of money. Well, and in the end, they're actually probably all going to end up having made 200 to 300 million. Like, that people are looking at the opening weekend, but I think the drop-off for Solo is going to be a lot worse, and it looks like it's only going to do 400 to 450, whereas all of those other movies did, I think, 600.
Right, yeah.
Or more. And then cost probably half as much, if not less. But none of them had been introduced before, and it's like Han Solo has been in 4 Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Which are some of the most important and biggest movies of the last 40 years, this should have been a sure thing.
Yeah.
And it says a lot that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so, what is it? Is it really Star Wars fatigue? Yes, I think part of it is there was one a month ago, or 5 months ago. And, you know, as much as everybody's like, well, Marvel released 3 movies a year now, and it's like, yes, but they're different.
Yeah.
Because the problem with something like Star Wars is, okay, yes, this is a heist film, but it's a heist film that's science fiction.
Yeah.
Whereas, technically, superhero movies really are science fiction. They are grounded in our world. You know, a lot of them are. Ant-Man does, like, most people wouldn't really think of that as a science fiction movie. It's a heist film, that's all they think of. You put it on the same level, and it's like, yeah, but this is still Star Wars. So it's still completely science fiction.
Right. Plus the MCU does do a good job of separating its films, and, like, feels like it's part of a larger universe, whereas Star Wars
takes you back to
the same exact location in the same universe. Like, in fact, wasn't that the issue with Spider-Man Homecoming, that it felt too much like an Iron Man movie. Like, why is there so much Iron Man happening in this movie, you know? That's true. Like, every movie is like Spider-Man Homecoming for Star Wars.
Yeah, I actually said the more apt comparison is actually comparing Solo to Spider-Man Homecoming, because they've been in about the same number of movies, they're established enough, but even then, Spider-Man Homecoming did over 30 million more in its opening weekend, which was only 3 days, not 4.
Yeah.
It wasn't a holiday, weekend. It was the weekend after the holiday weekend. It did, and that's after we've had 3 Spider-Mans in 15 years. So, if Spider-Man fatigue hasn't set in and isn't killing Spider-Man, what's wrong with the Star Wars movies? And, I mean, I've said it before, I don't think Kathleen Kennedy should be running Lucasfilm, but that's a whole other... Their mistake is trying to make it Marvel, and it's just not going to work. And they're going to have to walk it back. At least there will be a year and a half now before the next one.
Mm.
But they're going to have to seriously rethink what they're doing. I mean, the most excited I am for anything right now is the Jon Favreau TV show. Because that takes place between Jedi and Force Awakens, but I don't think it's supposed to have anybody we know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be its own story.
Huh.
So that's, but I still think the best thing they could do is announce Knights of the Old Republic, because that is something that would be really interesting to a lot of people, and it completely wipes out anything we know because it's so long ago. You don't have to, you know, besides knowing the Jedi and there was the Old Republic, that's like all anybody knows about it. So it's a clean slate. You don't even have to use the game as a template or anything. Yeah. So I think that's the best thing they could do, and probably cancel Rian Johnson's, because that alienated so many Star Wars fans that I think him getting a trilogy is a really, really bad idea right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I didn't actually, like, I think Last Jedi is okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel like it's weird because, like, I don't want to dislike it because of the reasons that other people dislike it are so stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not the correct reasons.
Yeah.
So... So I should love it out of spite, but I...
yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, you know, that's it. Take it or leave it. I don't know. Like I said, I may see it. I've still only ever seen Rogue One once.
Yeah.
I actually feel like I should watch it again.
I should rewatch Rogue One. Well, no, I've seen Rogue One 3 times, so I have seen it several times.
Yeah, I only saw it the one time.
But...
I'll probably watch this again, but I am getting to the point where I just don't care about Star Wars anymore. And I, when the prequels came out, I saw those movies over and over again. And now I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Because they weren't good.
We were young and naive.
We were very young and stupid. And Ewan McGregor was pretty.
That's true.
So
now, onto something that everyone should watch.
Yes. Let's get onto something really positive. Not that I did say some good things about Solo.
It was alright. Yeah. It was
Yeah. Anyway. On to Killing Eve.
Yes, Killing Eve. Did you see Killing Eve, Angela?
I have not seen Killing Eve.
You haven't even started it.
Where did you see Killing Eve?
You can actually watch it on the BBC America website. Like, they have full episodes there. I think you can watch the whole season on there.
That's what I was waiting for. You know how I am.
Yes, I do now.
And I did just wrap my K-drama today, so
yay! I watched
it. So now you have some time.
Snaps.
It was only, what, 8 episodes?
Yeah, it was 8 episodes.
So it's not like it's even that huge.
Yeah, it's not really, yeah, exactly. So it won't take a very long time to watch. You know it's renewed for season 2. And all you have to do is log in through your your provider. Your cable provider or whatever.
Okay.
It didn't even ask me to actually log in. It was just like, I was like, I'm ATTUverse. And then it just, now I wasn't there.
Oh,
so.
Okay. You just have to say who you're.
Yeah, I think so. That seems fine.
That's lame because we don't have one.
Well, yeah, hopefully you can lie. Just put ATTUverse, thank you.
So, you know who it would be because we only have one choice down here.
Yeah, oh, well, there you go. There you go. That's who it would be. But yeah, and then you can watch it. So we've seen the whole season, but the finale is what just aired.
Yeah, it's so, like, the whole series, it's just so, so good, because I care about every character, pretty much. Even the ones that are not supposed to be likable.
Like Carolyn?
Yeah. Spoilers,
but yes.
Well,
She's not likeable, but yeah.
I was thinking more Constantine.
Constantine's kind of fun. Constantine's fun.
He's fun.
Yeah.
His daughter?
She was
one of the best.
She's one of the best characters. So Constantine is the handler of the... Villanelle, who is the lead antagonist, if you will, right?
She's the one who wants
the one who might be killing Eve. So, yeah. So Constantine is like, you know, part of like the shady organization that murders
the 12,
people.
Whoever the fuck 12 they are.
That murders people, yeah. And yet he's hilarious. Like,
he's so much fun.
It's also because you never see him. In fact, all you ever see him do is tell Villanelle to stop killing so many people. So really, you're like, isn't he a nice guy?
Hold on, honey. Only kill the people you're told to.
Exactly. He just wants to contain the kills.
Yeah.
But his daughter is hilarious.
His daughter is absolutely hilarious, and everybody. She's in one episode, and everybody's like, spinoff.
Yeah. She was the best part of
her and Villanelle.
Yeah. That was so funny. And obviously, Sandra Oh gets to give such like an interesting and complicated performance.
Yeah,
it's like,
she's great.
Eve is. Obvious is the hero, right? But it's also like, how similar is she to Villanelle, and like, why is she so interested in this case? You know, like her reasons are kind of murky.
She develops an obsession,
yeah,
which is unhealthy, and there's obviously something more going on with her,
yeah, Because even from the beginning, she's, like, super into, like, ways to kill people.
She's like, oh my god, this is so cool. And you're like, you should be excited that there's, like, this serial killer going around killing, like.
I think it was in the first episode that she asked her husband how he would kill her. And he was like, I have never thought about this. And then she has, like, a really, like, detailed list of how she would kill him.
It's
and he's
like, normal people don't think that. Okay. I should be worried about you. Yes, yes, but yes. Should. And her husband is adorable.
Oh, they're very interesting.
Yeah, they are a fun, interesting mix. Mm-hmm. Sad when, like, he just disappears for, like,
there's a stretch, but I'm sure he'll be back next season, right? Although I kept, like, being concerned, like, whenever I didn't see him on screen, I was like, the next scene is gonna be her walking in and finding him dead!
I know, right?
The next scene is gonna be fucking dead! But, and yeah, of course, Jodie does a great job, especially with the accents.
Jodie Comer is absolutely, yeah. She's amazing.
The last thing that I saw her in before this was My Mad Fat Diary, so I'm very much impressed by the, like, leap in range.
She really
does. Oh, I forgot she was in there.
Yeah, yeah, she's the best friend in My Mad Fat Diary. Yeah, and now she's the
insane serial killer.
Russian seductress slash psychopath. Serial killer, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good times.
Yeah.
It's
funny because, like, we just sat here and spoiled Solo, but I'm like, no, I don't want to, like, say too much because I'm like, I don't want to spoil it.
This is, like,
what
we want you guys to watch. Killing
Eve.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
I don't really think you need to see Solo.
It's funny. It's funny and
it's really funny.
Tense, you know? But it never gets overwhelming. I don't think it's ever, like,
no.
You know? I didn't have to hide at any point.
It's funny that it deals with such a serious, like, subject matter, mm-hmm. but it feels really lighthearted.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how that works. And yeah. Having gone from just complaining about Phoebe Waller-Bridge as a writer is freaking phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
Because this is her show. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not the only one, but she wrote the finale, I know. So, yeah. Her humor is great.
Is on point. She is a very good writer. I feel like there's just, like, one or two beats where I was just like, oh no! And then I was, like, genuinely upset that happened, but only because I was like, I don't like it when my side is losing so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But other than that, it wasn't like, because a lot of times, like, you watch a show and you're like, God, I hate that they make them so stupid so that they can't win until the end, but it's not like that. It never feels like they're just too stupid. It just feels like, oh, come on, VNL, stop winning so much.
But at the same time, you're also rooting for her, which is weird.
Yeah.
You're like, how am I rooting for both sides? Because, like,
well, yeah, because if you got rid of her, if you took her off the table, then nothing would happen. What would you be doing?
Yeah,
right?
This show wouldn't work without
her. Yeah, you have to have them both, so.
And it is the way they play off each other. So
yeah, exactly.
Even though most of the time they're not actually together.
Yeah,
even
when they're not
together.
on screen together, though, like, you have, like, the parallels between them or the push and pull, you know?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. It's so good. And yeah, we were having this, so we're going to have this discussion now. Because we were having it just before we started recording. Of the does it count as our foreign topic? Because does it count as foreign when it's technically paid for by BBC America? Well, BBC Worldwide, and it airs on BBC America. It's made for BBC America. Obviously, it's going to air in the UK. Uh-huh. You've got to assume.
Right.
I don't think it has yet, but you have to assume. But
I guess it doesn't count as foreign then if it hasn't aired in the UK or elsewhere before. Well, no, that's a lie. Because Infinity War aired in Europe before it aired here, so. That doesn't count. Never mind.
No, it didn't. It was supposed to.
Oh.
And then they did it everywhere.
At the same time? All right.
You could say that about, like, the Avengers. They did have it in the UK the week
before. Oh, there you go.
That's true.
That does not make it British. And no, it's weird. I wonder, you could say who's the audience that it's made for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could. I mean, our sensibilities can be very different from British sensibilities, because, like, not always, like, obviously quality transcends that, but, like, who we think the predominant audience is.
It's, because it's interesting, because you have, Sandra Oh is just, she's playing an American who is an expat. She lives in London now with her Polish husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she works for MI5, I think, at the beginning of it. But it feels, I don't know, it feels British.
Yeah, I feel like it feels British, just because, like, I feel like it's a lot of British writers, right? British writing. The whole cast is British or Russian or Polish. And I don't think that it's, like, obviously, because Sandra Oh is, like, our window into it, you know? And she's American, so maybe it feels like there's an American
voice.
Gaze, if you will. Yeah, but at the same time, nothing about her is like, oh, I don't understand what these British people are doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's lived there for however long. Yeah, long and, enough you to know, just feel like...
She refers to things as British people would.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to American. Mm-hmm. You know, she used, like, flat and lift and things like that. You know, so she's obviously been there for a while.
A new genre to represent global world.
Yes! All right. Exactly.
Because, because the comparison I made was, okay, Harry Potter is written by a Brit. Mm. It stars all British actors, but it's paid for by Warner Brothers. And if it weren't for the American audience, those movies wouldn't have been made. Maybe you would have gotten something like the BBC probably buying it for television. Mm-hmm. But the movies, no British company could have afforded to make them. It had to be an American company that paid for the movie. Mm-hmm. Because the studios all are. So, I mean, even Fox's, even though it's right now owned by an Australian. So
Killing Eve feels like it's been made for the BBC.
It could have been. So yeah, this is the question.
Yeah.
So it does and it doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna count because we have
because we actually
option.
Don't have another foreign topic to talk about this week. Unless we talk about K-dramas again.
People can chip in. See if you're out there listening.
Tell us what kind of foreign thing you want us to watch and talk
about. Especially because this is the time of year where, like, most of our shows are off.
Yeah.
So we actually need new stuff to talk
about.
And
might actually have time to watch them.
Maybe I'll go back to Babylon Berlin since
there
we
you
talked
go.
About that. I need to watch that.
You need to finish that.
So many things. But I have a ton of British stuff that's on that sling box waiting for us to watch that we haven't watched, which is part of the reason I gave up so many of the American television shows, but I still haven't had time to watch all these British shows. So I think I'm going to make that my mission.
Yes.
You know, as I get a new job that's going to probably keep me really busy and I have to start preparing. I already feel like I'm preparing for Comic-Con, even though it's like a month and a half away.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to start getting ready for all these foreign. I actually need to watch these foreign things while getting ready for all this American stuff.
Do it.
It's just never ending.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's never, ever
Maybe
ending.
More like movies. So it's just one thing that you watch.
That makes
you
know our life a little easier.
Yeah. You watched an hour and a half. You're good. Now you can talk about it.
Yeah. That's what I'll do. I'll try and find stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, make it our, we're supposed to talk about one foreign thing a week. That was what our target was, and then we really got sidetracked by the fucking Marvel recap, which I still feel like we're trying to get back to normal after that.
That's true.
I almost feel traumatized by that.
You feel traumatized?
I love Marvel, but I was like, I still, that recap, I was like, man.
I'm glad that it happened, though. Now I have seen every Marvel movie, which
was
not the case before.
I was talking to, I just got my hair dyed yesterday, and I was talking to the assistant. Mm-hmm. And she's on my Marvel bag in my backpack. And so she was asking me about Infinity War. And she was like, yeah, I haven't seen it. And she's like, I haven't actually seen all the movies. And I was like, you can't see this movie without seeing all the movies. I was like, it's not going to make any sense to you. It assumes you've seen them all.
I haven't seen all of them.
Well, she's seen like three. That's, I think. Yeah. And I was like, it's not going to make any sense to you.
It'll be like that one review. Remember that one guy who was like, this movie didn't explain who all the characters were, what their relationships to each other were.
Yeah.
Like, well.
It's only three I haven't seen, I think.
Which three have you not seen?
Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, okay.
Wow, really? I mean, right. Doctor Strange, I kind of understand, but Ant-Man's fun.
Yeah, Ant-Man's fun.
See it just for Michael Peña. Because he is fantastic. Huh?
And then I was mad about Edgar Wright, and then I wandered off.
I was mad about Edgar Wright, and I still kind of am. But I also feel like it was kind of his fault.
Yeah.
To be honest, and he kind of, like, fucked himself over.
Mm-hmm.
If he had done the movie at the beginning, it would have, when he was supposed to have done the movie, because it was supposed to be the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the second one.
Which is so funny to me.
Yeah, I know. If he had done it when he was supposed to have done it, he wouldn't have had to fit so much. And that was his complaint, was that he had to fit too much into. And it was like, well, what do you expect if you waited 8 years to make the movie?
Yeah.
You actually have to service something bigger than yourself now. Sorry.
Tragic.
I mean, I still wish I could have seen that movie. Huh?
You should go talk to Taika Waititi and figure out how Taika did it.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Because he could have made the movie he wanted to. But it also didn't feel like they stuffed too much into Ragnarok, so maybe that was it.
Yeah, they were just like, alright, we're gonna go over here for a while.
Yeah.
But they did stick Doctor Strange in there, so they got their requirement.
That's true.
Yeah. He was willing to work with them a little bit more than, yeah, I think Edgar, yeah, Wright was.
And I love Edgar Wright, but yeah. Now I want
to... Well, I want to hear about Cloak and Dagger because I'm really interested in it.
Okay. It's amazing. But we can't talk about half of the episodes that we've seen because we're not...
Yeah, like, I've only seen two, so...
You've only watched two. I've only watched two, okay, so... You're going to have to lead this more because I can't remember how, like, which... of the stuff I can't remember which episode it happened in because I binged it. So I'm not allowed to talk about
But we can't talk, like, specific spoilers, right? Or...
No, you can't talk... You can just talk broad.
Like, for example, can I say that one thing that I found very surprising, and I know that I think that you liked it a lot more than I did. Like, I still thought it was good, and I'm, like, interested. I want to see them more, but I was, like, was expecting them to interact more in the first two episodes. Uh-huh. So I was really surprised by the slow pace, considering that there's only 10 episodes for the first season.
Yeah.
I think that it's probably a good thing. It'll wind up being a good thing because it means that they're going to, you know, they'll have, like, one overarching storyline that'll probably, you know, last all 10 episodes. But
so we, in the next few days, I'll be posting interviews from the junket that they did last week. And that was one of the things they talked about was the importance of establishing them as individual characters and their own people. Because that is the, I mean, the Cloak and Dagger... they're completely dependent on each other.
Right.
Basically, she can live more without him than he can without her, but they are dependent. So much so that, like, I've said it before, I think I've said it before on here, but, you know, I play the Marvel Puzzle Quest game on my phone, and every character gets, like, their own little, like, card.
But they have one card?
But Cloak and Dagger are one, although so are Rocket and Groot, which is interesting. I forgot about that until just now. But yeah, Cloak and Dagger are one. Because, yes, they are completely dependent on each other. They and so, I do like that. I will say, even after seeing what I've seen, which I won't say anything spoilers, but it is slow. Like, it's building. It's not throwing it all at you at once. Mm-hmm. They are, I think the... I can't remember. Joe, I think, is his name. I can't remember his last name.
Yeah.
The Joe is his name. Yeah, the showrunner. He has at least a 5-year plan.
Oh, okay.
And I think establishing them as their own people and what their story is separately actually really is going to help for that kind of thing.
I'm because sure, otherwise... I'm sure it'll help in the long run.
For longevity, it really will.
Yeah. I think they did a really good job of establishing, like, their family dynamics and, like, the problems within those, you know, families, or because, like, it's important when you're switching, like, because, you know, she used to be wealthier, now she's not poor, etc. So we got to really see, like, what's become of her mom and, like, how that's affected her.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I feel like the story about his brother was added. I don't know that was in the comics.
No, maybe. That's not in the comics.
So that was, you know, like, that was, like, a very
in the comics he's a runaway.
Okay.
He's the one who comes from, like, nothing.
Yeah.
And she is privileged. So that's one of the things I really kind of like. I think turning that idea and that stereotype on its head really is working, especially for the characters. There's actually a scene I can't talk about. There's one scene in, I think it's episode 4, that was amazing. It's going to go along those lines, but we'll talk about it when we get there. I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good because, like they've already said, the as progressive as the comic was when it came out, it was feeding into stereotypes in order to achieve its story. And so now they flipped it, but you still have to deal with racial divide, even when you're not talking about class privilege, right? Like, it's like class privilege and racial privilege are different.
So. And I think that's going to be a theme that they deal with a lot. And I think that is an important conversation we're having right now. So it actually really, it's really timely. It's probably the most time, well, I guess you could say Jessica Jones, maybe. Well, no, and I guess Luke Cage. But I think it feels the more timely of all the stories because of the way it's, like, unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the story that, you know, because of what we're dealing with as a society right now. You know, and I was the one, I did talk about it after WonderCon. I can't remember everything that I said, but I was the one because of the fact that Impulse is coming out next month as well, and they start with the idea of the power being, a woman's power in both stories being basically brought out by a sexual assault,
which sucks, but at the same time, they also, you know, with Tyrone, it's it's because of a cop, a bad cop who's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, and so, but I, and I think that's what it's important. So I was looking too much at, like, because of Impulse, I was like,
mm-hmm.
but it works for the story. And especially because they do keep looking at those are themes. The
dangers that you're, that you would be facing in that.
Those are the biggest dangers for mm-hmm. those people in this world. And it is a conversation we're having right now and that we need to keep having
mm-hmm.
because obviously, you know, a lot of people don't get it until they're beat over the head with it over and over again anyway.
Yeah. Thought that Olivia Holt in particular did a really good job. Like, I was like the acting overall was like ranging from like acceptable to good, you know, but like Olivia Holt especially was I thought very surprising in her performance.
Yeah. I really like him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he's Aubrey Joseph.
Mm.
He's come out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and his performance is pretty subtle, mm-hmm. but especially going forward, I really feel like it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going, I don't know. I just love both of them. and I am somebody who knew, you know, Matt loves Cloak and Dagger,
mm-hmm.
but I knew nothing about them.
Right.
Until, you know, what he told me. And even then, he didn't really tell me a lot until this started coming up. And so because we're, you know, seeing these. He has not watched the rest. He's only seen... He saw
the first one
episode. He saw the first episode at WonderCon. He hasn't watched the rest because the screensaver is my email address.
All over the screen.
The watermark is my email address bouncing around the freaking screen. And that's really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a watermark you can get over. Yeah. And just ignore. You are literally always
you're looking just chilling at this Walmart, with that watermark. So it's
kind of annoying.
That's funny.
But I mean, I can't blame them. I'm sure somebody's tried to leak it already. Probably. Mm. No, you got to fight those things however you can.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I'm really excited to see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it could be really amazing.
Yeah.
But it is going to be really tough. For them. I like the way that so obviously they're from New York in the comics.
Yes, and then
because everybody's from New York.
Right.
In the comics. But
I guess this is a spoiler, be like, do they get more into New Orleans after the first two episodes?
Yes.
Okay. Because I thought
New Orleans feels like it's become its own character.
Okay.
And they work some really great stuff mm-hmm. that I didn't know about New Orleans into the series.
Okay.
I think that's really going to be great. I can say that because they talked about it at the thing.
Just because I remember, like, watching the first two, I just was like, I feel like, aside from the pier, I wouldn't have necessarily felt it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I expect that they get into it more. So.
Yeah, especially for Tyrone.
Mm, okay.
It's going to be, it's actually really beautiful the way that they've woven that story. And I actually am really, really, maybe that's part of the reason I'm so excited about his story, especially.
Yeah.
I think he's got the more exciting story mm-hmm. in a lot of way too, because it is the more it is sad.
Yeah.
She can have much more of a life, but you know, like Matt has said, he gets to the point, and I mean, even from the first two episodes, you can kind of tell that it feels like that they're slowly, because like at first when you're seeing the promo stuff, Matt was worried because it's like, well, he's not supposed to have a body. But even from the first two episodes, you can tell it looks like that's they're both slowly manifesting their powers. Right.
Yes, it was very paced.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not all happening at once. And it happens more and more, I think, as they meet each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's going to become more dramatic. And yeah, he doesn't have a body.
Mm-hmm.
He basically has a face, and then he's got his cloak, and then you open up his cloak, and it's like a portal to another dimension, is like what his character is. And so, I'm really interested to see, especially going, because the way they've shown it in the previews, you can kind of see they're dealing with, like, they're looking at voodoo and stuff like mm-hmm. that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a woman who says something about, you know, like the balance of light and dark. Basically says that one of them's going to die. And I was like, I don't think that's how they portray his character, but you have to assume it's going to be him.
Right.
And that is going to be a really interesting story because of his parents, because that's going to be freaking awful.
Mm-hmm.
Because how will he still have a relationship with them when, yeah, he's not really a person anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, he is, but he's not.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's gonna be, I think it's going to be really, really fucked up.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be really, really interesting. And like I said, I like the way they're weaving that.
Yeah.
And the way it's go with the story of, like, what's happening, you know, yeah, to African-Americans in this country right now.
Yeah.
So that's why I think his story fascinates me more. Not that hers isn't fascinating, because it's pretty fucked up, too.
No, it sounds really good. I'm totally sold. And I like, Freeform is, like, low-key doing some really interesting stuff.
They really are. They get written off as being, you know, ABC Family. Mm-hmm. And, like, the actor who played the priest actually said something. Like, he was like, oh, whatever, they're ABC Family. And then he was reading it, and he was like, holy crap, they're, like, dealing with some real shit here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I don't think people really get.
I like that they're taking advantage of that opportunity they're granted. Like, people write them off as ABC Family, so they're taking a lot more chances, like, even in their other shows, like, just having more prominent diversity with various things across the board that a lot of other networks aren't brave enough to do.
That reminds me, like, you always want more polyamory in your television, and Siren definitely has got that going on. It definitely seems like that's the way they're gonna go.
Yeah,
it's like, just one symptom of like 10 years of K dramas.
Yeah,
being sick of it and just being like, you could just solve this. I just don't see this anymore.
Yeah, I remember having that conversation with somebody. You know, when I was obsessed with Glee, and that was on, and it was before I watched Pretty Little Liars, which, you know, we won't go into like how bad that show got. But that was the one thing I remember her saying at the time was, I was complaining because, even with Ryan Murphy being a gay man, right, like, being in charge of this story, half the time it felt like they weren't really giving the characters of, like, Kurt and Blaine a fair shot at getting equal screen time and treating them equally as the straight characters. Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling me that was one of the things she liked about Pretty Little Liars, because you had Emily and she was gay and she had girlfriends all the time, and it was just like, I mean, she probably went through more than anybody else
did.
Yeah. Which is another argument. But before, it was, okay, well, Emily gets relationships too. And, you know, that was the beginning of it. And it was a really silly show and nobody watched it. But Dead of Summer, which was their absolutely ridiculous horror show that Matt and I loved because it was just so freaking stupid and it knew it and it just went there. But it had Zelda Williams and she was playing a transgender character.
Oh.
You can argue the problem of having a cisgender woman playing a transgender character, but they had it and it was just, you know, there was a gay character and there was the relationship between them and what, you know, how that progressed.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting, and they don't give a lot of credit for a lot of the things that they do.
I mean, The Fosters has been, like, 4 or 5 seasons now of, like, a lot of nicely woven, you know, like, different diversity and social justice issues within a family drama.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What about The Fosters?
Kudos to you, Freeform.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Go, Freeform.
Major kudos to them. Yeah. I think, because they, it's funny, because Pretty Little Liars was, like, such a huge media, like, darling, but at the same time, like, people ignore it at this, you know, like, they give props to other things, and you're like, well, you do have to acknowledge that their shows are doing these things, too, and it's not just network television we should be looking at.
That's true.
Yeah. So. But yes, Cloak & Dagger premieres June 7th.
June 7th.
So watch it, because it's awesome, and it really deserves it. I think it's going to be really good. Like I said, it is a slow burn.
Yeah, it's definitely a slow burn, but I think, like, if you're looking for something that's going to tease your brain while you're watching it, you know?
Yeah, it's not, like, just hitting you with superhero shit right at the beginning. It's real. It's one of the most grounded things Marvel has done. You know, probably.
Yeah, which is ironic, but yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? It is. So, yeah. I think it'll be really good.
That does help with, that's where the pacing helps, because the powers develop so slowly that it does give you a lot of time to ground it. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. In the rest of the world of TV.
Let's go to the social issues that are, like, just clusterfucks of doom. I don't even know where to start with it. Oh, how far?
It's an hour. So yeah, it can just be just a quick, like, well, we know, like, Roseanne, which was the highest rated network show this season.
I think I think Big Bang Theory actually was still bigger.
Oh, really?
Which is frightening to me that Big Bang Theory still does that well, but that's another argument entirely.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory probably ended higher than Roseanne did, because Roseanne did start
it
losing.
It started. By the end of it, I think Big Bang Theory was better.
Yeah. But it had, like, a really big premiere, whatever, you know, and they had already renewed it. They were all excited for their...
I think they started writing. Like, they... Yeah, the writers were back in the writer's room.
They were doing it. Season two was happening. But then Roseanne decided that she was gonna call a black woman a cross between Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes, right?
Because that's not racist, right, or anything. Exactly. That's so, not offensive.
Yeah.
No, of course
and
not.
And even though it's not like we didn't know, like, obviously we know she's racist.
Yeah.
So this is not a secret. But I guess...
Somehow I didn't... I had heard about the dressing as Hitler thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear how bad it got.
Right.
Because she was burning... She had, like, cookies that were supposed to be Jews burning in the oven.
Yeah.
I was like, how did anybody think giving this woman a television show again was a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, like, she had definitely, like, lost her mind at some point in the last few years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what changed. Or
yeah.
If maybe nothing changed, she decided to start talking about it. I don't know, you know? But I was surprised to begin with that Roseanne was coming back and that they were just, you know, not acknowledging it. They were just like, oh, well, we have liberal writers. And in fact, she even said that once it was canceled, like, the show was canceled by the head of, what is her name? Channing
Dunham? I can't remember.
With a D?
Anyway. Is it Dunham?
Maybe?
Maybe.
Or
I'm terrible with names. Dunkey? We've gone through this.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what her name is. The head of the network canceled the show. And you can argue, like, well, they've let a lot of other things slide, so the only reason that they did it now was to look better, or because the backlash was too strong, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't, like, as long as it happened, right? I'm just glad that I'm glad they finally took action.
they were never going to win unless they took her Channing Dungey.
Dungey, okay.
Or Dungey, I don't know how you say it, but that's Dungey.
Yes.
Anyway. Who is an African-American woman, by the way.
Yes, she is black.
I don't know how they ever thought this was going to be a good idea. It was always going to come to this unless, they took away her Twitter. Which apparently, I think Sarah Gilbert or something said that people basically on the show were trying to keep her away from Twitter. So I was like, so it's just Trump. Only, you know, obviously we have slightly higher standards.
Yeah.
We'll give them the chance, but when they fuck up, we'll take it away.
Yeah.
For TV, I guess that's
well, that's
how it
the
works.
Thing, like, if they were trying to keep her off Twitter, then they knew, you know?
That she was a problem.
I think it was Sarah who said, like, oh, well, this doesn't represent anyone on the show's views or anything like that. I was like, except that the show is Roseanne.
Yeah.
These are her views. So, like, how are you going to say it doesn't represent the show's views?
Well, and it's hard because it's like, you were willing to work with this person.
Yeah.
If she's this terrible, which, I'm sorry, that's a horrible human being. Yeah. Especially because Sarah Gilbert is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you be okay with somebody, like, I mean, maybe she personally apologized to her. I guess we don't know the personal relationship, but still she's willing to do these things. It's like,
for the paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's trying to get that money.
People needed jobs.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And it does suck that all these people have lost their jobs, but.
Yeah. That is I feel worse for all the people behind the scenes because I feel like they have less opportunity and it was probably a harder thing. It's going to be a much harder thing for them than I do for the actors. The actors, as much as
they're, most of them are doing fine.
Well, as much as a lot of them haven't done anything for a while, it's like, yeah, but I don't know. I still feel like it's worse that you were willing to work with her.
I mean, like Laurie Metcalf, John Goodman, Johnny Galecki, however you say his name. Like,
yeah,
they didn't need jobs.
Didn't
do it at all. You know?
So Johnny Galecki, especially, Big Bang Theory, reruns, dude is set, he never needs to work again.
He doesn't do it, he hasn't worked a day in his life. Yeah. So, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I just don't know. And of course, apparently Trump is making it all about him.
Oh, really?
He wants Iger to personally apologize to him. It's like, why?
Oh my god, I hadn't heard about this.
If this woman represents you, that may, like... As if we don't know Trump is bad enough already.
Yeah.
But you're also saying that this woman and her views represent you if you expect a personal apology from the president of Disney.
What, for canceling your favorite show? Like, what?
Yeah. It's really freaking bizarre.
Yeah.
Iger used to be on one of his, like, actual government. He had a council of, like, a bunch of business people. Oh, and they all left him over something. God, I don't even know which one. Which one was this?
It's hard to keep track of at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I don't even remember. So he's probably just, like, mad at him.
Yeah.
That's so fun. That's so ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. It's... And as bad as that is, I think the most surprising thing is, and ABC don't really deserve kudos because they shouldn't have brought the show back, but they did cancel it very, very fast. Mm-hmm. It was like, I mean, even the Hollywood Reporter, I remember seeing the story, were like, well, that was fast.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought it would take a few days for them to be like, okay, we can't. And they were like, nope, we're done. That's it. We shouldn't have done this.
Right.
It's
just interesting. I guess it's just interesting to see what the line is, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like I was saying, like, we already knew this about Roseanne, but sometimes you just got to hear that, you know, super obvious line that you can't interpret in any other way.
Maybe then
you can shut it down.
Yeah, maybe she's willing to shut up just long enough for the show to be on. Okay, no, she can't. Never mind. Yeah. We got to cut that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when it's like, I don't know. I guess I just find it funny how people will defend against, like, be like, oh, that's not racism, it's just whatever, until you can't anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, and the worst part is you keep seeing people and they're, like, racially charged. No, it's racist.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a racist comment.
Right.
There is no racial, like, it's stop.
Yeah. Cloak and Dagger is a racially charged show because...
Yes. Yes.
Because a lot of the storylines involve race.
Yeah.
But Roseanne's comment is just racist.
Yeah. I that is the one thing I have to say that I've, like, been happy at least a couple times with NPR recently, because I listen to KPCC a lot. And, like, they were talking about it, I think it was on The Frame yesterday, and they said she made a racist comment.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for just calling it racist and not trying to be PC about it,
right?
Because it's like, no, that's not something you need to be PC about. That is blatantly racist.
And didn't she, like, continue, like, was she, like, retweeting people or whatever even after that? Like, she's supposed to, like, apologize, but still, like,
she apologized. Well, first she, like, was like, I'm leaving Twitter, and then the show got canceled and she was like, well, fuck it, I'm not leaving Twitter anymore.
She came back.
she liked people who were defending her.
Yeah.
And then she started, first she was like, feel bad for the people who lost their jobs because I was stupid, and then she turned on her co-stars and said, you all turned on me.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you fucking expect?
Right.
And then she is, I don't even know anymore. She's a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a bad run-in with her on a plane once.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She's a bitch.
Oh, God.
It wasn't even, like, a big deal, but I was like, wow, that's the kind of person you are. It was, like, something where she was in first class, and she was with her husband at the time. I don't even remember which husband it was. It wasn't, what's his face? It wasn't Tom Arnold.
Oh, okay.
But it was somebody else. And, you know, he was, like, trying to get something, but he didn't want to because everybody was getting on the plane or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get out of the way. And she was like, no, that's what we paid all this money for. They can wait. And it was just, like, the way she said it. And I was like, wow, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you literally could just let one person out. Like, yeah, it was just like, and so, yeah, he got out, like, she made him get out, and there then were 30 of us waiting.
Oh my God.
Because he sat there going through his bag in the middle of the row, and you're like, you could have done this. Get the bag, sit down, go through it, and then get back up and do it again. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was just something stupid like that. And that's, like, totally not that big a deal in the scheme of things, and obviously nowhere near calling somebody, like, a ape, basically, is what she called her. But it just was one of those things where I was like, yeah, you're just not a nice person anyway.
Yeah.
This was before I knew about any... This was, like, I think I was going to the UK, so this was when Matt was still living there. This was, like, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
She's just a horrible person. And now we know she's a racist anti-Semite as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But I actually, like, I wasn't watching Roseanne anyway. I think I did watch it when it was on originally.
Yeah, like as a
so
as
this
a
didn't
one.
Affect me as much as now I don't know if I want to watch Arrested Development season 5.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I kind of run out of steam on it anyway. Like, it's been so long. It was years before it was confirmed.
Yeah.
And then now it's being made, and it was like, you know, season 4 was years ago, and I wasn't as into season 4. So I was just like,
Okay. I was looking forward to watching the recut season 4 that is supposed to be more like the original series.
Right. Yeah.
So probably would have been a lot more fun because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now it's, I mean, even Matt was like, I think I said something about, oh, it's streaming. And he's like, are we going to actually watch it now? And I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he was really, like, following, but apparently he saw enough that he was like, I don't know.
Because, yeah, like, you're, like, to watch it and then, like, to imagine what that set must have been like, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like, oh. And then, plus, the fact that he was fired from Transparent for harassing, you know, his assistant. And also, like, a costume person, the costume design department came out and talked about it as well. And then Arrested Development, and Netflix was like, oh, you can still come back here, though, even though we got rid of Kevin Spacey on House of Cards.
And literally all they had, it would have been more interesting if they were like, oh, he died.
Yeah, exactly. And you could have made that funny. You could have made that funny.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are like, well, Arrested Development is him. But I was like, no, because it started off being, oh, he's in jail, and we have to get on without him. So now you could have gone further, like, oh, well, he's dead, and now we have the, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just him, it's all of them.
Exactly, yeah.
He's far from the most interesting character on that show. Far from it.
So it's disappointing that they brought him back to begin with after that, and then it's even more disappointing to then have heard Jessica Walter talk about her own experience, and certain people talk down her experience.
Well, and it's funny, because, like, going with Jeffrey Tambor, like, just what they could have done. It actually would have been funny, too, and you could have done this in the context of the show, because that show was ridiculous anyway, is recast him. And then it's even weirder, because he plays twins, and so why do they both look different?
Yes,
like, you could have been, like...
Like, plastic surgery, plastic surgery, and double surgery, look like his brother.
Yeah. Well, yes. He didn't look like me anymore, so we wanted to... I mean, they did it on, Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh yeah,
because they couldn't get Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
So what's his face? Adam.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Which is a huge change.
Yeah, it's a huge change, and they were just like, oh, he got a nose job. I think is what they said, right? Yeah. And that was it. They were like, he got a nose job, and he went from Bradley Cooper to Adam Scott, who are both attractive men, but
in wildly
don't
different
look
ways
at all. Yeah. The same. You could have done something silly like that. It would have and it would have been funnier if you were like, we recast. He got, one got surgery and the other one felt weird, not looking like his twin brother anymore, so he got surgery too. And then there you go, that's your entire, and you could have made that a huge story.
The minutes it take for us to come up with two ideas.
Yeah, right?
Look at that.
Look at that.
That means a horrible person doesn't have a job anymore.
Yep.
And the people who deserve a job.
Still have it,
mm-hmm. and are happy and in a better situation. Because it's not like, Roseanne, there's people, as much as people were joking about, okay, kill her off. But how it is weird to have a show. Well, no, she created that show. She's gonna get money out of it.
Yeah,
There's no way to do Roseanne.
Without Roseanne.
Right. But Arrested Development, you could have done without Jeffrey Tambor.
And then I actually did hear that the set of Roseanne also was, like, ugly times. Or, like, in the writer's room was
probably
way back. I don't know, like, I just, the TV was on in the background, and it was, like, one of those, like... I don't know how they came up with a cobble together a special so quickly right after the cancellation, because this is literally, like, I was watching it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. And
oh my
they're
God.
Like, doing, like, interviews and stuff with, like, writers from, like, original Roseanne, and how, like, it was, like, a revolving door, and, like, people were never happy, and, like, you know, it was a very frustrating environment, etc. So I was like, well, all right, I guess this goes to show.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But it now instead of just being stuck with Jeffrey Tambor, we're stuck with people who defended Jeffrey Tambor.
Why
not,
did they do that?
Not necessarily. Well, did they really defend him?
It was more,
this is Hollywood.
Yeah, like saying, like, this just happens, and then, you know, to be like, well, yeah, sure, just because it happens a lot doesn't mean that it should be okay.
Yeah,
it happens.
You know what was also legal and, like, happened a lot? Slavery.
Right.
Doesn't mean it was.
Doesn't
a good
mean
thing.
It was good. Doesn't mean we should continue that. Also, David Cross, I mean, like, I know, like, people, like, paid more attention to Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
And he gave his apology, which was, like, I was like, oh, okay, it's a good apology, but also, like, just, you know, I don't know.
At least he was, like,
lesson,
yeah, at least it's like, all right, he said the right words.
Yes, exactly. He said the right words.
Hopefully he goes and actually follows through on them.
David Cross, like, I don't know.
I didn't actually see what David Cross said.
Okay, so first, he
I saw that there was something, but I didn't
see. Yeah, so he got off Twitter because his wife told him to. Amber Tamblyn, which yeah. I still can't believe that Amber Tamblyn is married to David Cross. I don't understand what's happening. I don't get it. But anyway.
To each their own.
Yeah, and then he's like, so I don't even know what people are saying. I don't even know what they were saying, but I just know that they thought that I was wrong. And so, basically, he was like, yeah, so, like, I know that Jason apologized, so, like, I guess I agree with what Jason said, basically, you know what I mean? And I was like, why are you even? So, it was just sort of kind of like the apology that he gave. I don't remember if you remember the Charlene Yee situation from a couple months, I think like a couple months back, like 6 months ago or so. Where she talked about how he was made racist jokes to her when they first met. And he was like, well, I didn't remember that at all. And then Amber Tamblyn was like, well, I talked to Charlene and I believe her. And now we're going to handle this privately. Thank you. And so that's pretty much what she said for this one, too. Like, okay, well, I've talked to Jessica and I've talked to everyone. So thank you. I will handle this now. Will we handle it by divorcing him? Like, I don't understand.
I know.
Like, really? What is happening? What is the handling?
He is getting out of this relationship. Yes! I don't understand.
Other than having to be his PR person. Like, I don't get it.
Just secretly what she's really into.
I don't even remember what he said in the interview now. I just remember when I was listening to it, I was like, I'm like, Jason Bateman, stop. But then I was like, David Cross!
Really, stop!
I don't remember what he said now, but I just remember being like, what is this?
The men of Arrested Development, not helping. Not helping at all.
Yeah. Where was Michael Cera to stop them?
I know, right? Hopefully he wouldn't be so bad. I don't know. We can hope.
Yeah.
Next generation.
Yeah.
They grow up. Exactly. And yeah. So I can't decide. Because Arrested Development is one of those shows I'll just put on in the background and, like, watch, like, the whole thing. I'll be like, I'm going to watch, and I just put it on and I watch the whole thing. As much as I watch, it's on the background, so I'm not paying attention half the time. And now I'm like, but that was the first three seasons. Mm-hmm. I never did it with the fourth season. And now I'm like, well, do I even want to watch this new one? Because the first time I would sit and watch.
Yeah.
Do I want to give it that time?
Right. Or that view?
Sad times. They canceled their entire European press.
Yeah, which is, like, it's crazy. Like, I guess they
because
just
they
knew
were
going to
get so much shit.
Exactly. That was the only question that they were going to get.
Yeah. It wasn't going to be about the show. It was like, no, to salvage it. That was the only, you had to not give them a chance to say anything. Just like no one should ever let Jeremy Renner talk about anything again. Mm-hmm. Unless he's like if you're promoting Marvel, the only way you can do it is probably put him with Scarlett Johansson because she won't let him down. And I don't think he would say half the shit he says in front of a woman, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. He's so ridiculous.
I know. Yeah.
The real reason he's not in Infinity War.
There you go.
we don't deal press with this guy, so he's just...
Except he's probably going to be a huge part of Avengers 4.
Oh, right, because, yeah.
Yeah.
There's even, somebody released, like, a... It looks like the logo for Avengers 4.
Oh, really?
Maybe. It looked like it was like a crew person had something that had the logo and it's purple.
Oh.
So everybody's like, well, maybe that's hinting
okay,
at
you know
Hawkeye
what?
Being
is
really
purple,
important.
Okay.
Thanos is purple. It's about Thanos. There you go.
I can't set myself up with so much Hawkeye. I can't do it. Both because, like, I don't care about Hawkeye, and also because Jeremy Renner, I really don't care about Jeremy Renner.
It's funny, though, because I saw a preview for that movie he's doing, of his called Tag, coming
out. Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know, Jeremy Renner doesn't do it for me, but I do have to say the way his hair looks in that one, I was like, it's better. I'm going to be superficial. I was like, yeah, no. But he still says really stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Really stupid and sexist, misogynistic things, unfortunately. Nobody's perfect. And then he does it sometimes with Chris Evans sitting there, and Chris Evans encourages it. Or doesn't call him on it. Yeah, it doesn't.
Captain America!
I know, right? I want to love you, Chris. All say stupid fucking things. Yeah. Sebastian Stan has said some really, really dumb things that he's gotten in trouble for on social media. So, yeah. They all are really, and, you know, the important thing is when they come out and, like, learn, but half the time they don't say anything, and you're like, are you actually learning?
Right. You have to put it to the test.
We like problematic people. People are problematic. That's the truth.
That
people,
is true.
People are problematic, and that's the important thing is hopefully they learn and they don't double down on it. And the problem with Roseanne was she doubled down on it, and she lost her show. Which serves her right.
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably become a conservative pundit on Fox News, probably now.
Can't wait. What's happen.
So, anyway. So on that downer, okay. I really want, really quickly, can we, are you watching Westworld right now?
I you know what, I haven't caught up, but I cannot, I want to see the Shoujin World episode so badly.
The season's so weird.
Yeah?
Season's weird. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on half the time. That's, it's just not as good as the first season.
I watched the first two episodes, and I was like, I clearly need a better headspace to understand what's going on right now.
I know, I feel like this season is going to definitely need a rewatch at the end of context will help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then,
it's
but
not
then
bad.
I saw
I mean, it's still great, but it's just not as good as first season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
but,
saw what?
No, but then I saw the gifts for the Shoujin Land, and Rinko Kikuchi's in there. I was like, I have to watch! So now I have to catch up.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about some of it. Mm. Well, catch up and then we'll talk about it maybe next week.
It shall be done.
I just realized, by the way, we didn't give anybody a chance to talk about DCTV on, like, and last year we didn't. We guys,
that's right.
Yeah, we haven't. All the shows are over.
Well, we could do, well, no, Supergirl's not over yet. Oh, so when Supergirl's over, we could do, like, a recap, like, a whole season, you know.
We'll see if we can get Andrew on.
Yeah.
Because you guys actually watched it.
Yes.
And then you can tell me what happened, and I can decide if I'm going to watch it on Netflix. Because that was what I said I would do.
Now it is on
Netflix. Get to the end of the season, and was it good enough that if I binge it, I might be okay with it. I think because...
Clearly Legends is a no, because you can't stand Legends for some reason.
I just can't.
For some reason, you don't like Legends. Their best one! Anyway.
Except for Constantine.
Yeah.
And so next year...
Isn't he going to be on the show next
He is.
Year?
He's going to be a regular
He's a regular
season.
Next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we have to decide what the fuck we're going to do.
It's just really hard for me that they actually call themselves Legends.
Oh, really?
That's just, I don't know why that's so hard for me.
Hey, of like, tomorrow. Yeah. They're not Legends yet, Angela.
Even Wally said that in the Flash premiere. He's like, now that I'm a legend. And I'm like, sit down. Like, all of you need to sit down. It's just, I don't know why it's so hard for me. It's just, I'm like, it pulls me out of the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, who really goes around referring to themselves that way?
Seriously. That's a really good point. Yeah, it's just dumb. Anyway, on that note,
we have become right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So we will be back next week.
Yes, we shall.
In the meantime, like we said, we had some, you mentioned, did we mention it on the podcast or was it talking
what
before?
Did we mention?
The fact that we had some editorials go up.
Oh, yes. We've had some editorials go up this week, so you should read them.
What about? Some of the DC TV,
yes.
The Flash, yeah?
Yes.
About the Flash.
The reveal of Mystery Girl, our lovely Jessica has some theories on what her big mistake might have been. And then Angela and I have lots of lovelorn K-drama feels for our couples that could not be or did not get to be enough.
Aw, sad times.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you always want more of.
Yes.
But yes, you can find those on withanaccent.com. And along with other news, reviews, interviews, and like I said, I'll be putting up the Cloak and Dagger interviews coming up in the next few days.
Before June 7th.
Before June 7th. Obviously, you can always follow us at With an Accent on Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm like, what social media are we on? And then Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep.
But, although half the time I forget to post to it. But follow it anyway, because I'm getting better at it.
Yes!
Anyway, that's it for now. We'll see you next week.
Good night and good luck.
Bye!
Bye!